Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I remember Christmas Day 2009, and I remember speaking to my dad about making lemon chicken. He talked to me about how to make a lovely chicken and putting the lemon inside and wrapping it up and cooking it well. And I sat there with him when we talked through making this lemon chicken together. I watched him as he watched one of his grandsons riding up and down the corridor. I didn't know that the following day, Boxing Day, the Lord would call my dad home. And so I remember back on that conversation fondly. All of a sudden, he was transported from this world to the next. He was transported from this life to glory. But I didn't know that was going to happen. That was about 6 to 8 weeks, I think, before I became the minister at Selhurst, and I thought, I can't do it, I can't start. It's too much. I remember my thinking being just overwhelmed in many ways. Nothing really prepares you for life when it suddenly changes and you adjust to a new world without someone who was there before. And yet the time came, and I could remember my thinking being, what would my dad want me to do? And I remember poring over a letter at Christmas time that he'd written to me, and then a birthday card. You tend to find the things you read quickly when people are with you, you pore over when they're not with you. And I remember him talking about serving the Lord. And I remember him saying in this letter and in this card, put Christ first in all things. Work hard, pace yourself, and preach the gospel. And I remember those four things. I got up on that first Sunday morning in February of 2010 and turned the church to Mark's gospel. And I told them this little story and said, I'm going to start with Mark's gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel. And the Lord enabled me to just get on with it and to serve. 2 years later, I found myself in America at the Shepherd's Conference. Someone had sent me to John MacArthur's conference there, and it was brilliant. But I remember throwing myself into ministry and then suddenly stopping. And there I was in America, away from Rachel, away from the children, and it was as though everything caught up with me. And suddenly as I stopped, my heart was aching. And I remember an older, wiser, dear brother in the Lord. He was involved in biblical counseling there in Grace Community Church, pointing me to the verses I want to point you to this evening in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, dealing with sort of a heavy heart, stress, anxiety, being troubled, and it was like Bible medicine being poured onto my heart. I found it so helpful. And since then, I've come back to these verses again and again and again and again. And in preaching through the letter to the Philippians to my own church some years ago, I came across them again and just thought, these are wonderful verses. So here what we find is Bible medicine, biblical help for the anxious soul. And I wonder if any of you here ever find yourself anxious about things, or ever find yourself worried about things, concerned about things, heavy-hearted about things. I wonder if you ever find yourself just troubled. In fact, the word anxiety in its kind of root word means to restrict and to choke. And if we were thinking about this morning, the letter to the Philippians being a letter of joy, then this letter here, we're reminded at this point that anxiety is a joy stealer. Anxiety does take your joy away. Anxiety robs you of peace. So here what we find is biblical help for a soul that is anxious and concerned. Maybe you're the sort of person that never gets anxious or concerned. Maybe you're the sort of person who just never worries about anything. Most of you, like me, will find yourself at times anxious, concerned, just with pains in your heart. Most of you will come across people who feel that way. And so these verses are so helpful because they enable you to counsel yourself, like David. He counseled himself in the Lord. That's what we're to do as God's people. And it will enable you and equip you to counsel others too. So let's think about this. Cast your eyes down with me and let's look at a command that we find in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. I don't know about you, but the first time I read those words, I just thought, that is impossible. I mean, how can you do that? How can you not be anxious about anything? Well, if we back up a little bit, there's some lovely words just before this command, which already put you in a good starting place. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near, or the Lord is with you. And it's very, very easy to forget when we are anxious or when we're troubled about something, to forget that the Lord is near, that he is with us. And we are to also live in the light of his coming. But nevertheless, there seems to be this impossible almost command, request. I think we need to see these verses not as God in his word, like a father being stern to his people. Do not be anxious about anything. How dare you be anxious about anything? But we're to see these words in the way that they're intended, with their tone. We're meant to see them as a father speaking to his children through his word, saying, do not be anxious about anything. You need not be anxious. Don't be troubled. I know your heart's heavy, but do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. And yet, the reality is that we can all be anxious for a variety of reasons. Maybe that's health. Maybe that's finances. Maybe that's relationships. Maybe it's a concern over someone in our family. Running from the Lord. Maybe there are concerns over work, concerns over church, concerns about who the next pastor is going to be to lead the church on, and all manner of things. It wouldn't be difficult for me to go around the room now and for you to quickly make a list with me of all these things that can make us worry. And you know what? We're pretty good at doing it. And very, very easily, we travel together down a road or a little lane. And this lane I've called What If Lane or What If Road. And we start to say things like, well, what if this were to happen? Or what if that were to happen? And we begin to worry and get anxious and then more anxious. What if this turns out this way? And we think of all these permutations. I don't know if you've ever done that. But you find yourself spiraling downwards like a plane in a nosedive and a tailspin going towards the floor. We can be very good at traveling down what if way. And it seems to be such a wide road, such a wide lane, such a wide way, we find ourselves easily traveling down it. It's different from Speculation Street. Sometimes there are times in the Christian life, like the wise builder considering the tower before he builds it. There's sometimes we need to think about future events. But we aren't to think about those things as we go down Speculation Street, thinking about a future event, worried and fearful and anxious about what might be. But rather we need to draw ourselves back to the truth of God's word. Things we were thinking about this morning, that we have a God who is in charge, who is in control, one who we can trust. But, you know, I find that when you take a little journey down what if way, what if lane, it very easily finds itself connecting to Stress Street or Anxiety Avenue. So you go down what if way and then you end up on Stress Street. It's like a big street, like Oxford Street, perhaps in London. or Anxiety Avenue, like Regent Street, as it cuts through it. And you think to yourself, how many times have you gone round in circles, stressing out, anxious, worried, and afraid? And yet what we're told here is, here's a command, here's a very clear and loving command for us. A father, a heavenly father to his children. Do not be anxious about anything. So how are we to deal with this? Are we to adopt this, again, this kind of positive attitude we were thinking about this morning? Are we to say to one another, when we see someone anxious, don't you realize that it says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything? What's the matter with you? Come on, and then we whack someone on the back. Well, that's not what these Bible verses are teaching. And that's not the right way to handle them. That's not even the right way to counsel ourselves. Come on, it says that. I ought to be doing it. That's doing it in our own strength. And that's not us standing firm in the Lord. That's trying to stand firm in self. No, no, no. What we're to do is we're to do what God's word tells us to do. As it lovingly says to us, you need not worry. You need not be anxious. Do not be anxious. It gives us some very clear instructions. So from this request that seems impossible, we are pointed towards something that the Christian is enabled to do. And it's here in verse 6. Here's the antidote. Here is the help for anxiety. Cast your eyes down again. Do not be anxious about anything, but instead of that, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here we are, here's the first thing, but in everything. And I want you to notice the contrasts there, how these things balance up. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, so that you're not anxious about anything, in everything, by prayer and supplication. We're to make our requests made known to God. I've got a friend who is an expert at travelling down what-if way, worry lane. He finds himself very quickly on Stress Street and Anxiety Avenue. And over the years that we've been friends, he so often says to me, the thing that I spent all my time worrying about never happened. It never came to pass. He says, I don't know why I spent all that time worrying. Then the next thing comes round and he worries again. I know another sister who finds herself in a similar pattern. Worry, worry, worry. It didn't happen. Oh, relaxes for a little while. Then the next thing comes along. Worry, worry, worry. Ah, it didn't happen. All these different things she was thinking about. And here what we're told to do is we're told to pray. We're told that's the response to our anxiety. Where are we to go? Well, instead of travelling down what if way, which leads to all these other places, There's a little place we can pull into. Or when I used to work in London, you'd often be walking down streets and you'd see a little place, St. Mary's Place or Monk's Place. And you could easily miss them. And here we're told, no, 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 don't head on down that street that leads to all these difficulties. You're to pull into Prayer Place. Pull into Prayer Place. And there, what must you do? Well, cast your eyes down to verse 6 again. It says, by prayer and supplication. Prayer meaning that general prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And supplication itself being almost a royal term, a legal term. You bring this supplication. You bring it before the king. You bring it before someone in a position of authority. And the supplication is a request for help. And who are we to turn to with these things? It says there at the end of verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. So, these are all very simple things, perhaps that you and I know so well, but there is one thing knowing it in the head, and there is another thing living it out in life. You see, what God is saying to us through his word, as Paul writes to the Philippians, God's word to us this evening says this: are you someone who is in a habit of becoming anxious about things? Situations come up about your family, about your friends, about your church, about your health, about your finances, and you find that you are so drawn to the situation that it becomes like a mountain, and you've travelled way down Worry Way, and you've ventured onto all these streets of stress and anxiety, and you haven't pulled into prayer place. And God's word is saying, no. Here's where you go first. Here's where you go always. Pull into prayer place. And when it says, let your requests be made known to God, what it's saying is lay it down before the Lord. God is saying to his children through his word, I want you to tell me everything. Pour your heart out. Come and lay it down before me. Because the Bible tells us that God inclines his ear to hear the prayers of his people. He longs for us to speak to him. The way has been made open. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to bring us into relationship with him. So the way has been made open. We are able to come to the mercy seat. And we come to one who is a great high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. One who understands our grief and pain. The Lord Jesus, the one who walked this earth. We were reminded in Philippians 2. Condescended, came down. Dressed in human flesh. Became a man. God the Son, dressed in human flesh. Fully man and fully God, our representative, the one who understands us. So we're able to come to him and lay it all down. And, well, you know these truths and so do I, but so often we don't do it. I've been saying to my own church recently back in Croydon in London that how many times do we really lay these things down before the Lord? How often do we really, we're concerned about something, and unless it's our own families, where we're sometimes quickly driven to prayer, how much do we pray that the outreach that we do will be used of the Lord to bring people to glory? How much do we pray that God will make us alive as a church? How much do we pray that God will give us a hunger for Bible food? How much do we pray that God will help us to pray? How much do we pray for the prayer meeting? How much do we pray for the children who come Sunday by Sunday? How much do we pray? How much are you praying for a pastor? Perhaps it's a pressing need, and so the prayer and the urgency of it has been driven up the list. But so often, things are going on, and we're panicking. We're getting anxious. We're spinning around. We're nosediving. And the Word of God here says, take a step back and pull into prayer place and pray. And bring your supplication, your request before God. I want you to notice something that I skipped out. Cast your eyes back to verse 6. It says there, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, here's these two words, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here what we're being told is we're to be a people who are thankful in our prayer lives. We're to be thankful for the God who started a work in us and will bring it to completion that we read about in Philippians 1. We're to be thankful to the Lord that he gifts us with suffering, that he's working his purposes out. Not to rejoice in the pain of the event itself that is making us suffer, but rather we're to rejoice that these things are working out a steadfastness in us, which will result in glory, honor, and praise to his name because we can trust him, that the Lord is shaping us. We're to be thankful for our church, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have children, we can give thanks to God for that, for food and for drink and for a roof over our heads, for provision day by day. So there are so many things to be thankful for, and yet we forget those things. Psalm 103 reminds us not to forget the benefits of the Lord, but to praise him for them. And how easy it is, well, we can be just like the lepers, receiving blessing from the Lord, but not returning to give thanks. Now, interestingly, it's tucked away in here that instead of being anxious, God speaking to his people, you don't need to be anxious. Come and tell me everything. And spend some time in thanksgiving in your prayer. As you begin to be thankful to God for family and friends and church and all these things I've just listed, as you begin to pray about those things and thank God for them, something happens. It's incredible. The very thing that you were being stressed about, that you were anxious about, that was dominating all your thinking, as you're obedient to Scripture and you bring it before the Lord, and then you spend some time being thankful, as you're thanking God for these things, you're not thinking in the same way about the thing that was making you stressed. This is different from positive thinking. This is God's way of dealing with the situation. There are establishments in our world that are trying to help people based on the model that you find in Scripture. But the big difference being that it's missing Christ. Here what we find is this biblical counsel for the anxious soul. You see, your mind begins to be taken up with other things. Perhaps your thanksgiving might be for past blessings. As you look back and you remember what God has done in the past, as you look back to the truth of Scripture, that Jesus Christ came down to our world, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but gave himself up that we might have life. So you might look back to the cross. Or you might look back to the times when you were in this position before, when you were feeling anxious and you were at a dead end. Like the friend I mentioned earlier, who prays to God, who gets really worried about certain things, doesn't lay it down before the Lord, doesn't leave it there, he takes it back up again and worries. But as you look back into the past and you think of all the ways God has delivered you and been gracious to you or taught you or disciplined you and loved you, it gives you confidence and hope. There's a lovely hymn that we sing in the church, which no doubt you'll have sung here. His love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. His love in times past. So as I start thanking God for what he's done in the past, my heart is being filled as I'm meditating upon God and his goodness of all the things that he's doing for me. So let's think about how we work this out in practice, not only to self, but to others too. As they share with us their heartaches and their pains and the things that make them so anxious and afraid, we encourage them. We walk them through these verses. That's what someone did with me when my heart was breaking out in America. And I felt miles away, which I was. In some senses, felt away from God, away from home, tired. And the Lord ministered to me through these verses as this lovely brother in Christ just gently walked me through them. So I'm just a beggar who's received this bread, passing bread on to you. You see, as we encourage others to stop and we encourage them to be thankful for things in their lives, we try to, with God's help, put things in a new perspective. Now, I want you to see how this continues on. Look at verse 7 with me, because verse 7 gives us a promise that follows on from doing things God's way. And here is wonderful. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding..." Understanding is something that happens in our minds, how we try to understand things. "No, the peace of God surpasses this understanding. And it says that it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now let's remember at the start, where does anxiety that we talk about in verse 6, where does it originate? Anxiety starts in the mind as you begin to think about things that make you anxious. As you ponder upon them and you think about them and wonder, as you take your journey down what if way, as you venture onto Stress Street and Anxiety Avenue, all these things are so often taking place in the mind. There are circumstances around you that drive you to your thinking, but they drive us so often to take our eyes off of a glorious God. It happens in the mind. But here in verse 7, we're given this promise. There will be a peace of God which cuts through your human understanding and guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In Christ is a big theme in Philippians. Now think of the times when you've witnessed in the church here people up against it, under pressure. Their hearts are breaking. Their situation is fragile. And in the midst of it all, you see the Lord at work in them. And you look back and think, the Lord's sustaining them. The Lord's keeping them going. Maybe you can step back and think of situations yourself in the past where you didn't know how you were going to make it through. And in the midst of it all, maybe there were pressures and stresses and trials, and the Lord in his goodness ministered to you, and you felt yourself with this superhuman strength almost. I remember an occasion where our oldest boy, Sam, he had a burst appendix, and it was a really challenging time for us. As a 9-year-old boy, I think he was 9. You don't know. Was he? Oh, there we are, see? That's why I bring my wife with me when I'm preaching. My boy, when he was 7, his appendix burst, and we thought that it was just going to be hopefully a simple procedure. But 13 days later, he's still not out of hospital. 13 days later, the doctor's speaking to me in much more serious ways. And I never forget him talking in the language of, I can't be sure. Can't be sure about your boy. And I remember walking down the street crying, walking from the hospital with tears falling down my face. And it was around the time that Mike had helped us as a church to secure a team to come and do a mission. The mission team were due to arrive in London 48 hours after this particular evening, where the church were praying in Croydon. My son was in hospital. Nothing seemed to be happening. Our hearts were heavy. And then all of a sudden, there was the breakthrough. And he turned a corner just against the tide. And I remember running into the church and saying, praise the Lord, this is what the Lord has done. This is immense. Of course, there are situations where it doesn't work out that way. On this occasion, it did. And the Lord was gracious and kind. But with 48 hours to spare, with my mind anxious about how are we going to deal with this mission, there's so much to do, I've lost the last 2 weeks. The Lord came in, gave peace, gave a strength outside of yourself. Have you ever experienced that? You know the Lord is with you. And the doors were opening, things were being accomplished, and we just had this incredible mission. And then not long after that, perhaps a few weeks later, a mum comes into the church and she's just broken and sort of crying and just saying to me, and I can barely make her out, he's gone, my son's gone. Tuxa's gone. And this African mum shared with me that her son's brain tumour had claimed his life in that sense. The Lord sovereignly overruled. This lad was right with Christ, praise the Lord. Oh, it's linked into what I was saying this morning. It was very different to be able to put my arms around her and just cuddle her and cry with her, having been in that situation. But the Lord drew up alongside and gave this strength. And you know, as we think about verse 7, there's this peace of God which he gave to this woman in the midst of her anxiety, her brokenness, her grief. And the Lord does do that. And he guards our hearts and he guards our minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the promise that follows. So let's think about this so far. Anxiety starts in the mind. We're commanded not to be anxious. Then we're instructed to get to prayer. As part of our time of prayer, we're to spend time giving thanks to God for his goodness to us. We're given this promise of a peace which comes from the Lord, which guards the heart and the mind. I want you to see the way the mind is at work in this. It's important to understand that. And I'll try and seek to open that up for you as to why. You see, as you cast your eyes down to verse 8, I want you to see what we're told to do there in God's word, how we're instructed by the Lord. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, look at the next word. Think about these things. And then what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Practice what things? Practice what Paul's just been talking about in these verses. To bring everything before the Lord and lay it down. To practice giving thanks to God. And in this list, this lovely list in verse 8, which we can't work our way through in the time we have available this evening, it says that there's a list of things that we're to think about. The things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If anything is excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, I want you to see the journey that's taking place in these verses. The anxious person is thinking about the thing which is stressing them, that's overwhelming them, the thing that's the mountain. So they're faced in this direction and they're overwhelmed by it. But God is saying, no, you don't need to be overwhelmed in that way. Do not be anxious. And so then we're turned to prayer. We're turned to laying it all down before the Lord. And we're turned to being thankful. And then God promises to give us this peace, which goes beyond our understanding, despite the circumstances, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then we're told to think about things that are pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy. So as you begin to think about those things, suddenly the thing that was dominating your thinking, that was crushing you, that was distorting all your thinking and driving you into the floor, you're now being turned by God to thinking about things that are true and pure and lovely. Your mind's taken up with other things. And so if we were to ask the question, let's just pick one thing off this list. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, think about these things. Well, all we have to do is go through the letter of Philippians. And we could start by just meditating upon all the things that we find in Philippians. They're all the things we were talking about this morning. From chapter 1, that God starts the work and he finishes it. That in our trials, God is working his purposes out. That because he's called us, the truth is we've been called to be lights that dazzle brightly in this world. We are called, here's a truth, to be runners in Christ's army. We are called to be those who turn to God and lay down everything before him. That's another truth. So that could just be where we go in Philippians. But I want you to think about this verse, verse 8, where it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, think about that in the midst of your anxiety and your troubles after you've prayed. You could just put there, finally, brothers, whatever is true in God's word, think about those things. Or you could say, finally, brothers and sisters, think about the promises that you find in Scripture and meditate on those things. So you might, for example, want to come with me to the Old Testament. We could just look up a few verses together. And no doubt you'll have a list of your favourite precious promises. But in Deuteronomy 31, we find a wonderful promise. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. This is what the Word of God says. This could be something you could think about, where it says, whatever is true, think about these things. Well, here's a truth. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's verse 6, just making sure you're on your toes. Now look at verse 8 with me. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now let's think about this, because we can walk away with these verses and we can practice Bible teaching on how to counsel ourselves and others from the Scriptures. Let's say that you're worried about a future event. You've travelled down what if way because you're concerned about your health. Or you have an interview coming up. Or you're not sure how your finances are going to turn out. And then you look at verse 8 in Deuteronomy 31. Having prayed and told the Lord all about it, having thanked him for what he's done for you in the past, you then start to meditate on verse 8. Now, who is it that goes before you? It's the Lord. Capital letters there in verse 8. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. The one who shows that hesed love. It is the Lord himself who goes before you. What else are we told? He will be with you. As well as going before you, he's going to be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. What's the therefore? What's the implication of that? Because it's the Lord, because he goes before you, because he will be with you, because he'll never leave you, because he'll never forsake you, do not fear in light of all that truth. Do not fear. In light of all that truth, don't be dismayed. I remember a man who worried about how he was going to die and when he was going to die. And it so often dominated him, it made him anxious. And maybe that's someone here this evening, I don't know. But it robbed him of his joy. It robbed him of his running the race with Jesus. He was so often taken up with, am I going to die? And when am I going to die? And how is it going to happen? And he prayed to the Lord about it. And he laid it before the Lord, but he was dogged with it. And then God, in his kindness, brought him a truth to think about. And you find it in Deuteronomy 33, and verse 25. And there the word of God says this, your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. The truth of God's word pierced this anxious man's mind, and it changed everything for him in a moment. And he began to realize in the truth of God's word, having prayed about it, laid it down before the Lord, thanked the Lord for his goodness to him in times past, he meditated on this truth. And suddenly it dawned upon him, as your days. In other words, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has already measured out this man's days. He's determined his beginning, he's determined his end. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny, we sing it. And it invaded his heart. It came in through the mind, he read it, and it saturated his heart. And he recognized that God had already ordained how long he was going to live, and God was going to give him strength for all the days he'd ordained for him. So he quit worrying about how long he had, and how he was going to die, and what was going to happen. God, you've got this. So let me run the race and be comforted by this great truth. We could pick any number of promises. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a biblical counsel pattern here where you could spend your time thinking on the things that are true and encouraging yourself in the Lord. I'll just look up perhaps one more verse. It's a lovely verse in Mark chapter 6 and verse 50. It's where the disciples are troubled. They're on the sea. These fishermen who are used to this type of lifestyle are in such a challenging position out on the sea that they fear for their lives. And the Lord comes before them. And in Mark 6:50, we read these words. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. But it's those words there. If we think of Philippians 4 and verse 9, where it says, think about these things which are true, the truth is that the Lord is with his people. The truth is that whether it's in a boat out on a sea or in the storm of our lives, we can still rightly apply that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, is with us in the trials of life. And so it may well be that these are the words we need to hear. Maybe you're here tonight and you're troubled because of family, because of health, because of finances, because of some other situation. And the truth the Lord wants you to meditate on is simply this. Here's the Lord's word to his people. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. That's great truth, isn't it? I mean, imagine meditating upon that great truth in the midst of your trial. Because the reality is, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is with his people. He will never let us go. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. And so you see, there's a whole process of thinking, and this is how I come to a close. We live in a world where people are troubled in the mind. Christians are. The world is. And what are we to do? Mental health is being spoken about much more openly, and that's a great thing. So often, doctors will prescribe tablets to people who are anxious and stressed and just worried about situations. Now, do people with mental health difficulties need medicine? Yes, they do. There are times when they must be prescribed. But so often, particularly as God's people, and we've experienced it in the church there in Selhurst, people that are distracted and troubled will go to a doctor, and doctors are very quickly jumping to prescribe tablets for people's anxiety. Because they can't offer the words of the greatest physician. They can't offer biblical counsel. And so sometimes medicine is prescribed prematurely. So we have to be really careful in this area. We shouldn't be saying as Christians, you've got to have faith, so you mustn't take medicine. There are sometimes it is necessary for people to be stabilized, to get some sleep if anything else, and to recuperate and rest and recover. So we're not saying that people shouldn't have medicine. But at the other extreme, we shouldn't be saying that the first place to go is medicine when someone is mentally overwhelmed and they're stressed out and they're finding life difficult. We shouldn't be just saying, go see the doctor, go get some tablets. It's a good thing to encourage people to go to the Saviour, to sit down, to walk them through these verses, to encourage them to counsel themselves in the Lord. Why? Because so often, the troubles that we face that drive us to this anxiety, there's not in a sense anything wrong with us that requires medicine, except that there's something wrong with our thinking. We're not thinking in the right way, so our thinking takes us into a downward spiral. So what verses 6 to 9 do in Philippians 4 is they stabilize our thinking. They help us to step back a bit. They help us to say, right, this is the situation, but I'm told not to be anxious. This is the situation, I'm being told to pull into prayer place. I don't know if I've really been doing that. This is the situation. God is saying, lay it all down before me. This is the trial. God has told me to just take some time here and to be thankful for his love in times past. Here's time for us to stop and meditate upon the truths of God's word. And you know, that's one of the lost arts in the church. And it's one of the lost practices that I confess to, and maybe you can too, that so often we don't memorize the Bible and we don't meditate upon Scripture and we don't ponder it and think it through. And you think of those times when someone sent you a Bible verse by text, or they've written you a letter with a Bible, little Bible verse in it, and how it's comforted your heart. That's because it's through this that the Lord can counsel us and help us, and it can be a biblical help to the anxious soul. So let me encourage you, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, to learn these verses off by heart and to meditate on them and actually to practice them, to do them again and again to yourself before the Lord and to encourage others as well. You're in a ministry in the church where we're to love one another and help one another and encourage one another. And so I trust that these will be saturated in your heart, impress your mind and help you to spend less time in worry way, which leads out onto stress street and anxiety avenue, and draws you near to the one who is near to you, the Lord Jesus, as you perhaps spend more time in prayer place.